Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
What would you do if you found out there was a book written by God Himself? Well, you would think, I would like to read that book. We have that book. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. Why am I attempting to speak this morning? Because I am speaking from the Word of God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul has given the 6 pieces of Christian armor. And the last one he calls in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, he had already dealt with the belt of truth. And how do we know it's the truth? Because of the Word of God. He talked about the breastplate of righteousness the believer is to put on. And that's a reference to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what protects my organs, the righteousness of Christ. And then he spoke of feet being shod with the gospel of peace, the preparation of the gospel of peace. What makes me ready? The gospel of peace. But how would I know that if it were not found in the Scriptures? He speaks of taking the shield of faith. Well, how would I know what faith is without the Scriptures? He talks about the helmet of salvation. Well, how would I know what that means without the Scriptures of truth? And then he spoke of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the 6th piece of armor. Now, the sword is the only part of the armor that is used for offense. Every other piece of armor is used for defense, for protection, and the sword is used for protection. You protect yourself with the sword, and the Lord used the word in that way when he was tempted by Satan. He answered every temptation with, "It is written." Oh, the high value the Lord put on the Scriptures. He could have just destroyed Satan, but he met his temptations with an "it is written." Now, the Word of God is the only thing we use for offense, though. Preach the Word. Not your gimmicks, not your methods. Preach the Word. The Word of God. Now, I think it's interesting that when the Lord Jesus is described both in Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 19, his appearance is described. Both descriptions have a sword coming out of his mouth. And that is a reference to the Word of God coming out of his mouth. The Word of God is that which is written by the Spirit of God. I want to read a passage of Scripture from Galatians chapter 3 that gives us some idea of the awesomeness of Scripture. We read in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Now, this took place centuries before the Scriptures were written. And yet, when God speaks to Abraham, it says the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Personality is given to the scripture. It foresees, only God foresees, because God ordains. The scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now, wait a minute. God said that. Yes, the scriptures said that. That's the high honor of scripture. When scripture speaks, God speaks. When God speaks, scripture speaks. I think of Romans chapter 9, verse 17, when Paul is quoting what God said to Pharaoh. He says, for the scriptures saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Now, wait a minute. Scriptures hadn't yet been written. The scriptures are the eternal word of God. It was the scriptures who said to Pharaoh. God said to Pharaoh. Scripture said to Pharaoh. Same thing. Now, the word of God, the scriptures, are written by the Spirit of God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture, not most scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, with regard to the scriptures, that holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, God used men, He used their personalities, but every word of Scripture is inspired by God. This is a book without error. This is a book that is divinely inspired. There's nothing wrong in it. This is the verbally inspired Word of God. Now, I realize that a lot of folks will balk at that. Now, how can we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? How can we believe that's true? I mean, men wrote it. We don't have a copy of the original. How can we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God without any error? Well, I hope this will help you to think about this. God created the universe. Now, what power it took for God to create the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, somebody says, I'm an atheist. I don't believe that. Well, that might be so, but you didn't begin an atheist. You became an atheist because you didn't like the implications of God. No one is born an atheist. Everybody knows that God created the universe. You look at the creation and you know somebody made this and nobody made him. He is eternal. He's all powerful. He created the universe. And like I said, somebody that's an atheist, they may be very intelligent. But I tell you this, what their belief in atheism, no God, is illogical, irrational, and intellectually indefensible. Nobody by nature is an atheist. You had to have disliked the implications of God and decided to become an atheist. It's a blind leap in the dark. It's actually anti-intellectual. They try to come across as intellectuals. It's anti-intellectual. It doesn't even make sense. God is. God created the universe. And if God created the universe, God can inspire men to write a book that's without error. Now somebody says, yeah, but we don't have a copy of the original scriptures. Yeah, we have a copy of the copy though, and that's good enough. We have a copy of the copy, and God is able to cause that to be preserved through the centuries. If we had a copy of the original, men would somehow worship it instead of God. I see why the Lord has not allowed that to take place, but thank God we do have a copy of the copy. And listen to these words with regard to the scriptures. Isaiah 55, verse 8, God speaking, He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. don't have such a high opinion of yourself. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, that is the written word. That is the living word. That is the word preached. But God's word will never return to him void. It will accomplish exactly what he intends for it to accomplish. Now, we need an inspired written revelation so we can know if what we're hearing is true. If we don't have an inspired written revelation, then all we have is my opinion and your opinion. And I hope you know that's worthless. Remember, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways above your ways. We need a written revelation so we can be like the noble Bereans. In Acts chapter 17, when they heard Paul preach, they searched the scriptures daily whether these things be so. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to these words, the scriptures, it's because there is no light in them. Now, all of God's people have a reverence for his word. The Lord said in John chapter 8, verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Somebody says, I don't believe what you're saying is true. Well, all you prove by that is you're not of God, because he that's of God heareth God's words. The Lord said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If a man love me, he'll keep my words. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Now in John chapter 6, right after the feeding of the 5,000, 5,000 people, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, probably over 10,000 people, were fed by 2 sardines and 5 barley loaves. That's not a lot of food. Christ brought matter into existence that was not there before and fed those people. That's what only God can do. And those people liked this because they got their bellies filled. They thought, we need to make him king. Now, they proved by that they didn't know him because he already was king, whether they knew it or not. They didn't make him king. He is the king. But they followed him, and he brought a message to them. You can read the content of the message in John chapter 6. And at the conclusion of that message, they said, these are hard sayings, harsh words. We do not like what you have said. How can we be expected to hear such teaching as this? We don't agree with this. And the Lord told them, the words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. These words you find harsh and disagreeable, their spirit and their life. And those people that he fed, those 5,000 people, every one of them left him. And what I think is interesting is he didn't ask them to come back. He looked at the 12 at that time and said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. These words that they find harsh sayings, we find to be words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now understand this, spiritual life comes through the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. James 1:18 says, of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now listen to this statement real carefully. The word has only one message. And if I don't see that, I may believe the Bible's the inspired word of God, but it hadn't done me any good because I haven't seen the message. The Bible has only one message. In John chapter 5, verse 39, the Lord said to some people, you search the scriptures. In them, you think you have eternal life. You look at this scripture and that scripture and say, if I can just do this, if I can stop doing that, if I can do what the Bible says to do, I'll have eternal life. You search the scriptures. In them, you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, does that mean Paul is just going to only deal with scriptures that deal with the cross? No, every scripture teaches Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if I don't get to Jesus Christ and Him crucified through that passage of Scripture, I have no understanding of that passage of Scripture. Scripture has one message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen to this Scripture from Hebrews chapter 4. It says in verse 12, the Word of God is quick. That means living. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, the word of God is living and powerful. It discerns like only it discerns. And this is how the Word of God is to be received. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you received it, not as the Word of men, not as Paul's opinion, not as some denominational distinctive. You received it as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. You didn't receive it as man's word, but as the very Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:4-5, Paul says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Well, how do you know, Paul? Do you have access into the Lamb's Book of Life? No, but here's how he answered this. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Now, that's not talking about assurance of personal salvation. It means you were assured that this is the Word of God. You know, Peter warns us of those who stumble at the Word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. They were appointed by God to this end. And John's final warning in Revelation, beginning in verse 18, this is, yes, a reference to the book of Revelation, but it's the other 65 books of the Bible as well. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now here's what he's saying. If you add something to God's word, you're going to hell. And if you leave out something purposely in God's word, you're going to hell. That's how serious this thing is. Now, when Paul was giving his final charge to Timothy, just before he died, here was his charge in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Timothy, preach the word. That's the charge. Preach the word. Does the word claim to be divinely inspired? Yes, it does. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Preach it. Preach it. Does the word proclaim that God is in control of everything? God is God. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Preach it. Preach it. Don't explain it away. Don't leave it out. Preach it. Does the word declare that Christ was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world? You know, that's such an awesome thought. Before creation, Revelation 13:8. Christ is called the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means the cross is God's eternal purpose. Preach it. Preach it clearly. Preach it simply. Preach it surely, but preach it. Does the word declare that God chose who would be saved before time began? Does the scriptures teach that? Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, preach it. Don't apologize for it. Don't water it down. Preach it. Does the word declare that men are dead in sins, unable to save themselves? And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins? There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's found three times in the scripture. Preach it. Preach it. Declare that men cannot save themselves and are completely dependent upon God to reach down from heaven and do something for them. Does the word declare and teach that the death of Christ actually saves? Now, the reason I'm asking that is most people look at the death of Christ making salvation available, making salvation potential, making salvation possible. Is that what the scripture teaches? Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering, talking about his death on the cross, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what he did on Calvary's tree. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's what the cross accomplished. The complete reconciliation of all of God's people. Preach it. Preach the word. Does the word declare salvation that's all of grace? By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Preach it. Preach it. Does the word declare the justification of a sinner? You know that concept, how can a sinner be just? If he's a sinner, if he's guilty, how can God call him just? Well, that's the very message of the scripture. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. And he can take somebody sinful like me And He does take somebody sinful like me and makes me perfectly just and righteous in His sight. And how He sees things is how they really are. Me and you don't see things as they really are, but He does. Does the Word teach that being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus? Then preach it. Does the Word teach that sinners are actually born of God, given a new nature, a holy nature, birthed of the Spirit of God? To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that which believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. What about this thing of faith? Is it true that all you got to do in being saved is believing the gospel? It's true. What, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. See, salvation is not by your works. You look to the works of Christ, and you rely on what He did. Preach it. Does the Word really teach that Christ is all in salvation? Well, Colossians 3:11 says Christ is all. Preach it. You're complete in Him. Preach it. Don't apologize. Don't water it down. Preach it. Does the Word really preach that we must forgive people? Well, the Lord said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Now preach that. Preach it as I have said it. Does the Word teach that Christ intercedes for His people? Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Preach it. Does the Word teach that He's coming again? Behold, He cometh with the clouds. Preach it. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses, and every verse has something with regard to the Word of God. Let me give you some of them. Wherewith all shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Establish thy word unto thy servant, which is devoted to thy fear. He said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget your commandment, your word. Now, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I love what David said regarding the sword of Goliath. There's none like it. Give it to me. And we say that with regard to the word of God. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church or write, we'll send you a copy.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.